Hello, and welcome to Professor Morley's Revision Guidance Podcast. Now, this is actually a slightly difficult task, certainly compared with offering exam guidance, because, of course, the great advantage, from my point of view, of giving guidance on exam questions is that I'm going to be the judge of the end product. So essentially, I'm trying to tell you the sorts of things that I'll be looking for as a marker, and that's a relatively limited range of possibilities. Revision, from your point of view, is about getting yourself in a position to present in your exam paper the sorts of things that I've told you I'm looking for as a marker. And it has to be said, there must be innumerable ways of getting to that point. Everybody learns in a slightly different way. The destination may be more or less the same, but there are lots and lots of different ways of getting there. So what I'm going to be focusing on is setting out a number of sort of really quite sort of general points and bits of advice, some of which may be more or less relevant to everybody, some of which may be relevant to only some of you. I hope that especially those of you in sort of final year have had a while to think about this, I hope you're sort of starting to think about your own personal style of learning. How do you do things best? What sorts of working patterns? What sorts of approach? Because really, that's the secret to this. The better you know yourself, the better you then know how to go about revising, how to go about getting yourself in the position where you can walk into that exam hall with a fair degree of confidence. So, let's start off with one obvious point, one obvious bit of advice, which I suppose could be termed in general practical terms, sort of pragmatism. The basic point about revising for exams, about facing exams, is you can't know everything, you certainly can't remember everything, so part of the process of revision is about deciding what is essential. What do you absolutely have to know? What do you need to know? What can you put on one side and not worry about? And this is reasonably straightforward, and it does relate quite closely to the sorts of things I've been talking about in the other podcast on exam questions. Obviously, you need an overall grasp of the unit you've studied. You need a grasp of the individual topics within that unit, or at any rate, you need a grasp of a fair number of them. And you don't just need to know the factual information, you need to know the key arguments, the key sort of, you know, who are the key scholars writing about this, what are the issues, what are the big areas of debate, and you need to know something about the evidence that underlies these arguments. What you don't need is memorising large chunks of quotes, memorising detailed references. Ideally, you need to know individual topics within a unit well enough that you could answer more or less any question that could conceivably be thrown at you. So, I mean, all of those are reasonably straightforward things. They're giving you an indication of, as I say, there are some things you absolutely have to know about. You don't have to know everything. And it's worth keeping in mind, what is the point of this period of revision? Well, partly it's refreshing your memory. Partly it is about going back over your notes, especially if it's a unit you did back in the autumn, remembering what on earth that was all about, basically sort of pulling it all together. But actually, that isn't the whole part of this. There's also this process of looking back at the unit and seeing it as a whole. Things are going to look different in retrospect, especially things you did at the beginning of the unit may look quite different by the time you've got to the end. Everything you did in the unit may actually look rather different now you've had some time to let it all digest, let it all fall into place. It should be a quite explicit part of your process of revision, looking back over the unit and trying to see it as a whole. Pull out what are the general issues that kept recurring. What are sort of the underlying scholarly debates? Things that really are common to all sorts of different topics across the unit. How can you make connections between different topics? Which means you don't just want to be focusing on your notes. You don't just want to focus on stuff you did in class, stuff you read back when you were doing the unit. Actually, you want to be doing more than that. You want to be refreshing your memory with general reading. Go back to sort of some of the books you read which are covering the sort of the whole area of the unit rather than just those on specific topics, because that's going to help you pull it together. That's going to help you see individual subjects in context. And especially if you didn't get round to reading some of the general essential reading, well, now would be a very, very good time to go and read it. Because actually you should be able to make much more use of it, having done the unit, than when you're actually starting everything off. And then one bit of advice I give to everybody is that in the process of your revision, certainly once you've refreshed your memory about a unit, it's a really good idea to go and read some new stuff. Don't just do things you already know. Supplement them with new books, new articles. You should be able to make a lot of these new things because you've now got the context. You've now got quite a lot of knowledge about the subject, which means it's easier to assimilate new stuff and see where it fits. But it can also set off new ideas. It can give you new material to work with. It can really sort of refire your enthusiasm for the unit, if that's one of the issues. Or it might indeed help you make sense of bits of the unit that really didn't make very much sense at the time. So, in thinking about what are you going to study, what do you need to do, focus on this basic set of questions. What is it that revision is supposed to do, and what's the best way of going about it? Second bit of advice, planning. Not the obsessive, you must chart what exactly you're going to be doing in every hour of the day and use up at least 10% of your revision time by designing careful colour-coded charts. I mean, on the whole, that comes under the heading of displacement and isn't terribly useful. But you do need to think about the revision period as a whole and how you make sure that you cover everything that you've identified as essential. So how do you make sure that you give enough time to all your different units? You don't necessarily give the same amount of time to each unit. It might well be that, you know, one unit was more problematic, so you want to give more time, more attention to that, but you don't want that to be at the expense of another unit. So you've got to think this through. Think about what you have to do. Think about how best to do it. Do you do one unit, put it on one side, do another unit? Do you move between subjects on different days, or even sort of one in the morning, one in the afternoon? And there's no right answer to this. You're going to have a sort of different learning style. But you do actually need to sort of think about how you're going to approach it, rather than just charging in. Ideally, you want a plan that's relatively flexible, and which leaves you a bit of leeway, so that essentially you make sure you cover everything you've identified as absolutely essential, and if you're ill on one particular day, or if things aren't working, or you can't get hold of a particular book, or, you know, any sort of unexpected occurrence like that, it's not going to throw everything out of kilter. So you want a plan that's flexible enough to absorb the odd day when things don't work, and you're still going to be operating at the same sort of pace even as you come up to the exam period. Quite possibly, you want a plan which actually gives you a chunk of time at the end, assuming everything goes well. You can then think, well, that's the opportunity to do a bit extra. That's the opportunity to read a few more things, or develop your understanding of a further topic to ensure yourself against, you know, the remotest possibility that the exam questions don't come up. Obviously, you know, the more you know, the easier it's going to be in finding a question and giving a decent answer. So your planning has to absolutely guarantee that you do the minimum for all your different units, and that you give the right amount of time for each topic, but it also needs to give the opportunity, if everything goes okay, to do more than that. So, a plan, flexible, not too rigid, but enough to make sure that you do actually come into the exams having done what you need to do. Third area, I suppose, would be practice. And I mean, again, this isn't for everybody. Some people really put an enormous amount of effort into practicing timed essays or other sorts of exercises. Other people find this a complete waste of time. I suppose the one thing I would say is, how long actually is it since you last had to write an essay under timed conditions by hand? And might that be a problem? Especially the handwriting. I've talked in the other podcast about the risks of producing exam papers which are more or less illegible. Partly that's a matter of being reasonably sort of calm and measured as you're writing them, but it can also be a matter of practice. If you haven't done a substantial amount of handwriting for years, then quite possibly it's going to be worth getting some practice in before you have to do it in the exam. Lots of different ways of practicing what you're being faced with. The obvious one is indeed just doing timed essays. Get questions. Might quite possibly sort of ask a friend to give you some questions so they come as a surprise, so they don't appear, you know, not things that you've already had lots of time to think about exactly how to ask that question, but a question on a topic you do know about, but phrased in a way that you actually do have to think, right, how do I go about answering this question? So, one approach is timed essays, but there are plenty of other ways of practicing, thinking your way through topics. Get together with a friend, pick a subject, talk through with them what are the key issues, exchange ideas, exchange thoughts, discuss what you think are the essential things to build into the argument, sort of so on and so forth. Don't do everything in isolation. Unless, of course, that's how you work, in which case, do everything in isolation. As I say, there isn't a right answer for this. I'm just offering some, you know, things it might be worth thinking about. Fourth idea, preparation. I suppose this is, above all, how to make the most of your revision session. How to make sure that when you're sitting down in the morning or the afternoon or whatever, that actually the time is used successfully. Now, partly that's about planning. Partly that's about having a clear idea what it is that you want to achieve. But it can also be making sure you're in the right state when you start. And it's a simple fact. Your brain is more receptive when you are alert and rested. Revising when you're feeling completely exhausted isn't actually going to do you very much good. If you're needing large quantities of caffeine to stay awake to carry on with revision, then actually you would be much, much better off going to bed, carry on with the revision once you've had some rest. Plenty of exercise. I mean, it makes an enormous difference. Again, there have been scientific studies that if you've done even just sort of, you know, 10 minutes reasonably vigorous exercise, your brain is actually then fired up. You will remember more. You will be able to focus more. Eat properly. Trying to work on an empty stomach or on, you know, an excessive diet of unhealthy foods doesn't do you any good at all. I mean, yes, I am starting to sound like your mother, but your mother is not necessarily wrong. All of these things, making sure you take care of yourself, enough sleep, enough to eat at regular times, plenty of exercise, all of these things put you in a much better state for making the most of your revision, and then in a much better state for actually taking the exam. Final possibility, and again taken from sort of scientific studies of how the brain works, listen to a bit of music. It used to be suggested that, you know, if you forced children to listen to Mozart, they would grow up to be geniuses. Now, that's basically been exploded as a theory. It turns out that almost any reasonably upbeat music can have the same effect. It gets the brain firing, and there's then sort of significantly higher level of performance in memorising and understanding problems, and so forth. 5 minutes music, 10 to 15 minutes work, and it is suggested you don't listen to the music while you're trying to revise. Music to fire yourself up, focus just on the work for 10 to 15 minutes, take another break, 5 minutes music, so on and so forth. This, it's suggested, might even work for exams. So, preparation just before you go into the exam hall, get the headphones on, 10 minutes worth of reasonably invigorating music, whatever style happens to suit you, rather than desperately ruffling through your notes for the final time. And I'd be tempted to say, you know, looking through your notes for the final time is going to do no good whatsoever other than panicking you. What you want is simply to be in the right state of mind. And by all accounts, music can actually help with that. And then finally, I suppose what you might term perspective. It is only an exam. It really isn't the end of the world. And the thing which is actually going to sabotage everything you want to do is if you get consumed with panic or paranoia or pessimism, you know, so any sort of, you know, negative mental state. You need to keep calm, you need to keep focused. If you're having problems with that, then all sorts of other things you can do. Make sure you get enough sleep, and if that's not working, then vigorous exercise, long walk, get yourself to sleep that way. Eat regularly. I mean, all of these things, they're going to, you know, they're going to help you do better. But equally, it's a matter of, you know, keeping yourself well, keeping yourself happy. There is no point at all in making yourself ill over just an exam. To sum up, the process of revision. Avoid panic, avoid pessimism, avoid paranoia. I mean, don't get worked up about, you know, sort of somebody else has done so much revision. That might be what suits them. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to do better than you. It certainly doesn't mean you're not doing enough. Avoid perplexity. Again, if there's something you don't understand, go and ask somebody, or go and read something. You know, don't sort of sit in your room panicking because you don't understand a particular point. Avoid all of those things through Professor Morley's magic 5 P's. Pragmatism, planning, practice, preparation, and perspective. And you can tell that I'm planning for my alternative career move into management consultancy, that obviously far more time has been spent thinking up the gimmick of the 5 P's than thinking up any of the actual advice. But I think this is all relevant, or potentially relevant. It's all designed to help. Other than that, all I can say is, stay calm, it'll be fine, good luck.